Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Our God and our Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing your people to come together to praise your holy and divine name. And now, Father, as we share in a study of your word, we pray that we proclaim your word in a fashion pleasing and acceptable unto you and edifying to all of those, to all of us who are present. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Let us all together say, amen. Amen. I cannot express enough my appreciation to Brother Manzo and the elders and this congregation here for allowing us to come this week to share our faith in the risen Christ. And it's just so good to see everybody, fellow saints from other congregations. It's just good to see everybody who is here this afternoon. And if you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, we are just honored that you have chosen to join us at this time. Now, I have been preaching for quite some time, and I always say on these occasions that after everyone has eaten, I recognize that wherever I'm going on this journey, I had better be on the road quickly and soon arrive at my destination if we are going to go together. So please just hang in there just a little while, and hopefully we will arrive at our destination. Let me call your attention this afternoon to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want to read for emphasis just a few verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." I want you to think with me from the subject, some left, but not all. Some left, but not all. Paul warns the young preacher Timothy that not everyone was going to remain faithful. Paul alerts Timothy to the fact that there will be some who will start out on the journey, but they will not continue. He says there will be some who are going to depart from the faith. Now, when we look in the Bible, there are two types of faith in the New Testament. One is faith personal, and the other one is faith doctrinal. For listen to the Bible in John chapter number 8 and verse number 24, Jesus says, "I tell you, ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Listen to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So number one, you have faith personal, but you also have faith doctrinal. For listen to the Bible in Jude 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now notice he said that we have a common salvation, and that common salvation is based upon a common faith or a common doctrine or a common body of teaching. For listen to the Bible in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4, Paul says to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Now, what is it that gives us our common salvation? It is that we have obeyed the same body of teaching. For listen to the book in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 17. The Bible says, but God be thanks that ye were once the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, and being then made free, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, wait a minute, watch this now. He said that you obeyed that form of teaching or that faith, that body of doctrine. Listen to the book in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. Paul told Timothy, he said, take heed therefore unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, I want you to watch this now. In order to go to heaven, we have got to, number one, live right, but we also have to continue where? In the doctrine that God has given us. Many times when we think of people leaving the faith, we think of them leaving their personal faith. But sometimes individuals will keep on believing in Jesus, but they will turn aside from the doctrine of God Almighty. You see, it's not only important that we believe in Jesus, it's also important what we believe about Jesus. Or how do you know it, preacher? Listen to the book in John chapter number 7 and verse number 38. Jesus says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, Paul warned Timothy that there were going to be some people who would turn aside from the teaching of the church. And if there is one thing that false teachers during this time had in common, it was that they believed that they could improve upon the sober and sound teaching of the Word of God. But let me share something with you. There isn't anything that we can do to improve upon the Word that God has given us. Or how do you know it, preacher? Talk for me. Second John chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine hath not God, but he that abideth in the doctrine has both what? The Father and the Son. Now, I got a question, church, because I used to always wonder, what difference did it make if a person would forbid someone from getting married? Now, I know that if you don't want to get married and you can live right and abstain without getting married, then you don't have to get married. But there's a difference, church, between saying, I don't eat meat, and saying it's a sin for you to eat meat. But I used to always wonder, what difference did it make when they forbade individuals from marrying and commanded them to abstain from meat? Well, sometimes, church, what might look harmless or look benign, when you dig beneath the surface, it is anything but harmless and anything but benign. See, the reason they believe that you needed to abstain from bodily satisfaction, and the reason they believe that you should not eat meat, and the reason they believe that you should not marry, is because they believe that there were two creators. They believe that there was one creator who created the flesh, and there was the good creator God who created the spirit. They believe that God did not create the flesh, but that God only created the spirit. Now, I got a question, church. If God didn't create the flesh, then that means that God did not create man. Because when I look at us, we are a trichotomy. We are body, soul, and spirit. Or how do you know it, preacher? Listen to the book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. The Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify ye wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. Now, if you listen to them, God created the spirit, God created the soul, but the devil must have made the body. Well, I got a question, church, because I want to know this evening, who created man, and did God create flood? Well, I remember in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. Wait a minute, wait a minute. If God created man, what did he create us out of? Listen to the book in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. The Bible said, and the Lord God created form man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became what? A living soul. Wait a minute, where did we get our blood? Talk for me, Luke. Acts chapter 17, verse number 26. The Bible said, and of one blood hath made all nation of men for to dwell upon the earth, and hath determined the times appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Who created man? God created man. Who created blood? God created blood. Because if God didn't make the flesh, then that meant that Jesus did not come in the flood. See, I used to always wonder, why does the Bible say in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flood is of God. Wait a minute, watch this now. There were some people then who said that Jesus was not flesh and blood. They said that when you look at the body of Jesus, that it was a phantasium. It was really not real. But somebody raised the question, more was Jesus God or was he man? I intend to show that when Jesus was upon the earth, he was fully God and fully man. Oh, wait a minute, church. How do you know Jesus was flesh and blood? Listen to the book, Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14. For as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same, that he through death might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Wait a minute, watch this now. One of the reasons that Jesus was flesh, because in order to die, you can't kill a spirit, he had to be flesh and blood. Oh, but there was another reason that Jesus came in the flood. Talk for me, Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 17. The Bible says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto the brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Wait a minute, watch this now. Why did Jesus come in the flood? Because in order to understand what we go through, Jesus had to come down and walk in our shoes. Because it's easy when you are standing on the outside to criticize what's going on the inside. Some of us are excellent cooks, but you will never find us around this stove. We know what everybody ought to do, but it's a different story when you are in the heat and when you are walking in another person's shoes. Somebody said, "Moore, wait a minute. Where was Jesus before he became flesh?" Right. Listen to the book, because I said he was fully God and man. Yes, talk for me, John. John chapter 1, verse number 1. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God. And the Word what? Was God. The same was what? In the beginning what? With God." Talk for me, John chapter 1, verse number 14. The Bible said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt what? Among us." Wait a minute, watch this now. Talk for me, Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. Paul says, "And without controversy." In other words, there is no argument here. The Bible said, "Without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory." Talk for me, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5. The Bible says, "And when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast made me." Now, wait a minute, church. Wait a minute. Watch this now. He said the body was made for what? To me. Now, wait a minute. Watch this now. If the body was made for the me, and that means that the me had to be here before the body, because the body was made what? For the me. Now, wait a minute, watch this now. Jesus, when he was on the earth, he was flesh and blood. When he died on yonder's cross, Jesus died. Jesus was God and man. So when they said that Jesus did not come in the flood, I got news for them. Jesus knows what I'm going through, because Jesus was flesh and blood. One day there was a gentleman who tried to get smart. He said, "If you know so much, tell me, was Jesus ever tempted with women?" Right. Well, when he said that, I just stepped back for just a moment. And I remember what the writer said. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." I said, so you take that verse and you answer that question. I am glad right now that Jesus was flesh and blood. But I used to wonder, church, and I'm trying to move on, but I used to wonder, why in the world did they forbid marriage? Now, I need you all to walk with me. And now, sisters, don't y'all get upset with me. I'm just going to preach and tell you what they said. Now, I'm not saying what I said. I'm saying what they said. Because I'm married to a woman. And my mother, God bless her soul, is 86, and she is a woman. And without a woman, I would not be here to be married to another woman. Now, I want you all to watch this here. According to the Essene, they said that women were, they said women I better come over here by the men. They said women were evil, that they were deceitful, they were faithless, they were selfish. And the only reason for a man to marry a woman was for procreation or the preservation of the race. Now that's what they said. Well, but when I look in the book, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Somebody said, Brother Moore, where did marriage come from? Come with me quickly. You all remember in the Garden of Eden, God was there. He made the animal. But then he noticed that when he looked at Adam, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make for him a help meet. Now, wait a minute, watch this now. Who was the help meet that God made for the man? Well, look at Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24. The Bible said God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, took a rib from his side. Therewith he made woman. Wait a minute, watch this now. God never asked Adam how the woman should be made. God never asked Adam what to do with the woman. Because when the woman was made, Adam was asleep. And then God presented the woman to the man. And God said, therefore shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife. They twain shall be what? One flesh. I don't care what is said in Washington, in Nashville, in Jackson, Mississippi. God said that a man will leave father and mama and cleave what to his wife, and they twain shall be what? One flesh. So wait a minute, watch this now. You see, if you don't want to marry and you can live right without having a wife or a husband, that's all right. But marriage is still all right. And we need to encourage some of these young folk, get some husband, get some wife, raise some families in the house of God Almighty. Then number two, I used to wonder, church, and I'm almost done. Why in the world did they forbid them to abstain from me? Now walk with me now. Because I have heard folks say, and I remember I used to always wonder, why in the world can we eat fish? Why in the world can we eat deer? Why in the world can we eat chicken? But yet we cannot eat a little pork. Well, watch this here. Watch this here. In order to separate his folk. Now you all walk with me now. In order to separate his folk from the other nation, God gave his folks some dietary restriction. Now wait a minute, watch this now. But when God created the animal, everything that God created was good to eat. Or how do you know it, preacher? Talk for me, Moses. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 3. God said, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as I have given the green herb, I have given all things unto you. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I got a question. If it was all right at first, why in the world did it become wrong? You all walk with me now. You see, for a time period, God, in order to separate the Jew from the Gentile, God said, all right, I'll let you eat some meat, but there are some other meat that I want you to stay away from. But I got a question, church. Does God intend for us to stay away from it right now? Well, I remember in Acts chapter number 10 that there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a member of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, gave much alms unto the people. He saw evidently about the ninth hour an angel of the Lord coming unto him and saying, Cornelius, thy prayer and thy alms are come up as a memorial before God. Now send down to Joppa for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, for he lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Verse number 9, and on the morrow, as they journeyed and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up to the housetop in order to pray, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but he fell into a trance. He saw the heavens open, and a great sheet descended from heaven, knit at four corners, let down to the earth, and he saw all manner of four-footed beasts, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And he heard a voice saying, Peter, rise and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And then the voice said, what God has clean, call thou not common. Now when I was in school many, many, many years ago, I remember Miss Grinnell saying that when it said has clean, that meant that it has already been clean. I got a question, church. When did God clean up the hall? When did God fix it to where it was all right to eat of the hall? When did the hall go from being unclean over to being clean? Well, I remember Jesus one day encountered some of those Jews his disciples had eaten with unwashed hands. And Jesus said, it's not what go in the man that defiles him, but what comes out of the man. Wait a minute. Even Jesus' disciples did not understand what Jesus said. So in Mark 7 and verse 19, Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? He said, what entereth into a man, it does not defile him, because it does not enter into his heart, but into the belly, and is cast into the drawer. Now watch in the King James Version. There is a little comma there, and there are three words, purging all meat. Wait a minute. What have you done, God? I have purged all meat. You used to couldn't eat the hog. Now it's all right to eat the hog, because I have cleaned up all meat. Wait a minute. Now, y'all, I love everybody. But I'm not a possum man. Now, wait a minute. I love everybody, but I'm not a coon man. I have never eaten possum that I knew what I was eating. I am not a coon man. I don't care how many sweet potatoes you put around. I am not a coon nor a possum man. But it's all right if you want to eat. If you want to eat boom, if you want to eat possum, I'm glad right now that while some of the folks left, everybody did not leave. There have always been some folk who remain faithful to God Almighty. I get so glad to know that I can tell the world that Jesus Christ left the shores of heaven, came down here to this sin-cursed earth, born of the Virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. I can tell the world that he walked upon the earth some 33 years. One day died out on Golgotha Hill, taken down and buried in a borrowed tomb, but got up early one Lord day morning, walked upon the earth just a few more days, made a jet out of the cloud out on Mount Olivet, went on back to heaven, and a few days later sent the Holy Ghost. Miss Church of Christ got started in the city of Jerusalem. I can tell the whole world, if you believe that gospel, if you make up your mind, you are going to stop doing wrong and you're going to do right. If you tell the world, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the everlasting God. If you go down in the water, meet the blood of the Lamb in the water, come up out the water, I'm in the church of Christ now. But I tell you what, once you get in the church, you need to stay in the church. I'll tell you right now, it won't always be howdy howdy in the church. I tell you right now, sometime you are going to fall out with some folk in the church. But when y'all fall out, you need to turn right back around and fall right back in. Because every now and then, teeth and tongue will fall out. But have you ever noticed they find a way to fall right back in? I'm glad right now that I'm in the church of Christ. I remember hearing about a man who went to Africa who had never ridden on a camel before. When he went to Africa, they put him on a camel and they said, if you want the camel to run, you need a hollow wall. If you want the camel to walk, you need a hollow out. But if you want the camel to stop, say amen. Well, the man got on the camel. He told the camel out, and the camel started walking. He started feeling so good that he said, whoa, camel. And the camel started running. And the man was so excited that he forgot the command to make the camel stop. Well, the camel was running. And the man noted that there was a cliff right up ahead. And he is headed right over the cliff. So he started hollering, wow, camel. Camel kept on going. Started hollering, whoa, camel. Camel kept on going. And he could not remember. He said, stop, camel. But the camel kept on going. But then he said, I'm going over the cliff. So he issued a prayer to God Almighty. He said, Lord, it looks like my time has run out. But I thank you, God, for the life that I have had. And I'm going to end this prayer by saying amen. And when he said amen, he said amen, the camel stopped right on the edge. But then the man, after the camel stopped, he got so excited that he threw up his hand and said, wow, and went right on over the cliff. Once you start running, don't stop running. Once you start with God, don't leave God. If you are here and you're not in the church, get in the church. If you're here in the church, stay in the church. Won't you come right now? While we stand and while we sing, won't you come?
Won't you be free from your burdens of sin?
Jesus said, come unto me.
All in the blood. All